Testing 1, 2, testing 1, 2, 3.
You're in the safety. She said you don't have to do that.
All right, everybody. We're going to go ahead and get into this today because we got a lot to cover. And honestly, I hope that today we can have a lot of interaction with some things because I'd love for you to participate. I'd love for you to chime in on even maybe specific things where you have questions about how do I steer a conversation, or how do I connect a gospel conversation with somebody, or if I get into this type of conversation concerning the faith, what's a good direction to go in with it? So I'd love to try to work with that as much as we have time for today. So hopefully as we go through the beginning part of this, it will kind of come and give you some questions that you can consider as we move further into the lesson this morning. But we are going to start off being in John chapter number 4. We're going to talk about connecting with the conversation. So how to share your faith. We connected, first of all, with the commission. We got to know the commission. We got to know that we're called. We got to know that we're empowered. We got to see Jesus for who he is. We got to see the lost for who they are. We have to have a passion and desire and understanding that we're called to give the gospel to people. If we don't see ourselves in that role, if we don't see ourselves in that commission, then we're going to be lazy with it. We're going to find all kinds of other things to do to occupy our time, talent, and treasure, and we won't be funneling those things toward the endeavor of connecting with the commission. So we dealt with that first. And then, last week, we connected with the cultivation. So we saw in Scripture so many times where the kingdom of God is referred to like a farming field, you know? The field's white unto harvest. Go and harvest it. We talked about partnership in that. We talked about personalizing that. We talked about cultivating personal opportunities to get into gospel conversations. You have certain people that you're around. You have a sphere of influence. You have people you work with. You have people you live near. You have family members. Some of those need the gospel, and you've been put right in the middle of their lives. You've got to look for those connection points and those opportunities where you can cultivate those relationships and look to see how you can mention Christ and bring Christ into it. So we talked about really connecting with the cultivation. Now, this morning, we're going to talk about connecting with the conversation. I mean, you can see yourself as commissioned, and you can be working hard to set up opportunities, but you actually have to say something. You actually have to have some information to give people about who Jesus is and what sin is and how to lead them to the point of where they're at without faith to the point where they have faith in Christ. So that is the conversation piece of it. And make no mistake about it, you cannot just lead people to the Lord through lifestyle evangelism. People aren't naturally just going to call on Jesus because you're a nice guy or a nice lady. They have to know some doctrine. Even the Bible says that doctrine brings salvation. You have to know the truth. You have to know the pieces and what they are. And that's why we have Scripture, because the Scripture gives us the whole story about what salvation is about. And we've got to be able to relate that to people. So, and this is why a lot of people don't ever get involved. This seems like a really big deal, doesn't it? I mean, I got this whole commission and it's going to get it, and then I got to cultivate the opportunity, and then I got to converse with people about this. I mean, this is important. This is something big. This is something that God, I think it's cool. I think it's awesome that God's given us this opportunity. And we should embrace it. It's fulfilling. It's cool. I think, you know what, David? I believe that 100%. I believe there are lots of Christians who are living in their life unfulfilled because they're not presenters of the gospel. And I don't think you'll ever really connect with your fulfillment in Christ until you sit across from somebody sharing with them. I mean, I'm still getting over some congestion, and I got a tickle in my throat. There we go. I don't think, be fulfilled in your faith until you're able to sit across from somebody and share with them the gospel. But the disciples themselves, it says, that sometimes they look at people in their seat, but they went away glad. There's something about sharing your faith with people. I think that renews it in your own life, too. That makes it fresh in your life. And I think people who aren't sharing the gospel regularly, it's not really fresh with them. They're kind of dried up. They don't have the newness of life where they're brimming at the top of their container, wanting to spill over the truth on other people. I mean, isn't it a neat pattern that whenever somebody, we're going to talk about it again today, we're going to go up, whenever somebody first trusts Christ, it seems like the first thing they're going to do is go out and tell everybody about it. What happens between that point and where we're all at? I mean, what happens between those points and you know, something gets disconnected in that. And we got to get back into the conversation with people, so we're going to talk more about how to do that today. But before we do, we're going to get into the passage. So John 4, you can turn there in your Bibles. The verses will be on the screen as well.
Let's read this encounter with Jesus and the woman at the well, and I think it sets up a good conversation point for us to discuss how to have conversations with people concerning the gospel. All right. Notice with me, speaking about the ministry of Christ here. So when it says he, it's speaking of Jesus. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city called Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into life or eternal life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come here to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Let's pray, and then we're going to dig into how we can learn from this and get into gospel conversations with other people. Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful for your word. We're thankful for your calling. We're thankful for your salvation. Help us to be willing to discuss it with others. And help us today to learn something that we can take away that will improve our understanding of how to share the gospel with those that are around us. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, let's dig into it. We see here this interaction with Jesus and the woman at the well, and we see that he gets into a full-body discussion with her about salvation. Now, I'm not going to say that this is going to happen every time that you first meet somebody, that you're going to get all the way into the gospel with them, but this time Jesus happens to do this, so we get to see kind of a full picture of what this looks like in one scenario. So that's why I picked it for us to choose from. More than likely, scenarios are going to look like you build a relationship with somebody, they get to view your life for a little bit, some conversation comes up where you're able to mention Christ, time goes by, some God arranges something in their life that tenders their heart, you're able to present the gospel, perhaps they trust Christ or reject Christ. That's usually the way the pattern looks like in our life. It's not usually in one setting, but sometimes it's in one setting and it's glorious. I mean, it's awesome. You know, sit there and just walk through the gospel with somebody and see them praying trust Christ as your Savior. So
this isn't maybe typical of what we would see every time we're interacting with people, but I like it because it gives us so many things we can draw from and how to have gospel conversations. So let's talk about the first thing this morning. And we see, first of all, a gospel sensitivity. A gospel sensitivity. We talked about this a little bit last week when we were going through cultivating things. And something that has to be cultivated for you is in your heart to be sensitive to the Spirit to want to converse with people about this. If you don't purpose in your mind that I am going to have these conversations, you will never have these conversations. There will never be a convenient moment. You'll never notice an opportunity. You'll never have a desire.
You need to start praying. If you want to ever be effective as a witness, you need to start praying right now that God cultivates something in your heart and your sins and deadly people and in yourself. You need to start praying that way. You can't force this. This has to be a work of the Spirit of God in you. So I would encourage you, if you mark one note down today, mark down a note, I need to pray that God would give me a sensitive spirit, that I'd be sensitive to His Spirit to mention the gospel.
We see Jesus' sensitivity here. He must needs go through Samaria. At this point, the Spirit was leading and guiding all the actions of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll remember at His baptism, the Spirit came down. He was led into the wilderness. He was tempted. And then it references that the Spirit is the energizing force in Jesus' miraculous ministry. Now, we understand the dynamics that Jesus is God, but this was a typification of what was going to happen even with believers. That's why Jesus, when He stood before the disciples and said, I'm going to leave a comforter, He's essentially saying, I'm going to leave you the same source of power that I'm operating under, the Holy Spirit of God. And so he's sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. He must needs go through Samaria. He's going to meet this woman at the well. He's going to have that conversation. What it would be like if every day Christians woke up and said, my spirit of influence, I did so like time in God, I'm purposing in my heart, I'm going to have a gospel conversation with God. If you direct it, if you connect it, I'm going to have it. A gospel conversation with God. And to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. So we need to be sensitive to that. Can I ask you a question this morning? Are you sensitive to the Spirit of God in sharing your faith? If you never share your faith, you're not sensitive to the Spirit of God. You're not. And I'm not talking about living right before people. I'm not saying, oh, praise the Lord. I'm talking about literally speaking about Jesus. Literally speaking to people that have been for salvation. If we're never having those conversations, we're not being sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. He must needs go through Samaria. We see His sensitivity to the Spirit. Secondly, this morning, we not only see gospel sensitivity, we see gospel segue. And I love this. So this is the most difficult part. How do I transition whatever conversation I'm in into a gospel conversation? What do I need to do to make that happen? Because how many for you, you're like me, and one of the biggest hurdles to having gospel conversations with people is actually finding that point of transition in the conversation. It's like, we're talking about sports and, you know, the Mountaineers are losing again. And we're discussing it, and we're having this conversation, and then do I just go from that to, oh, by the way, Jesus. You know, where's the organic kind of, like, point of conversation? And what I love is that Jesus pulls out of the normal occurrence of life and transitions it into a spiritual conversation. He's talking about water, folks. What? How many of you, everybody knows what water is. And they're at a well. This is perfect. They're at a well. They're getting water. The woman comes to the well. He says, can you give me some water? Why did he ask that question? Can you give me some water? Because he knows he's going to ask her a question. Hey, would you like some real water? What a great segue that is. I think it's okay for you in the course of your life to find gospel connection with what it is that you do. Are you a plumber? Are you a lawyer? Do you have certain language you use in the field that you're in? You know, I one time worked with an accountant, and he loved sharing the faith because as an accountant, he worked with terms like justification. He worked with terms like reconciling. And so it was like a bonanza for him at the office. When somebody'd say that word, they'd be like, oh, I'll tell you about reconciliation. I mean, find the areas and points of connection in what you do and who you're around, where you even, ahead of time, do you think that Jesus already knew this conversation he was going to have with this woman at the well? Hit yes, because he's God. And it's okay to pre-plan your conversation. It's okay to dig in and prayerfully strategize and consider who you are, where you're at, what you do, who you're around, and what you can say, healing, or lead the conversation into in order to open up a gospel conversation. You know things your family likes. You know what they like to talk about. You need to prayerfully consider and strategize, how can I lead a gospel bridge into this conversation with the Holy Spirit of God? And don't make it super awkward and weird. Like, don't just overstretch the guidelines where the Holy Spirit's not even working in this thing, and you're like, well, you're putting some new rock in your yard. Let me talk to you about the Rock of Ages. I mean, it's got to be something that you're... Something. Yeah, we failed.
I mean, yeah, maybe it could come out. Like, if you really got into conversations about rocks. But I'm just saying, it can almost sound like a cheesy pickup line.
Yeah.
You've been walking around in my mind all day long, you know? You don't want to just start throwing these weird things out there. People think this is weird, this is not natural. But if it's in the flow of what you naturally do every day, and people understand the concepts, and you're not just kind of weaseling your way into a conversation, and it's Holy Spirit generated, it's okay to know how your life, your vocabulary, your terminology, your area and arena of living, how it intersects with gospel messaging. And I don't think people sit and really contemplate that enough. I don't think they sit and think about, I see Christ in what I do here. I mean, if you're a physician, how many understand there's a lot of connection points that with disease and healing and saving lives, and there should be something that you can pull out of that. If you're a mechanic and you're talking about taking something old and making it new or refurbishing something, or I mean, there's so many bridges that you can build with the gospel in normal life, because normal life reflects truth, and truth is the gospel. And so you've got to start thinking outside of the box of just the literal nature of all the items and objects you work with, and start thinking about, how can this also be used in the gospel message? You know, in preaching, listen to illustrations where a pastor's taking a real-life occurrence and then intersecting it with the gospel truth, and maybe that's something that would pertain to your life. And you're like, man, I can grab that illustration and look for that opportunity of where I can intersect the gospel with this occurrence. I mean, there's just so much that you can do in that. And we see that gospel segue here. We won't take time to read the passage again, but man, he's sitting there at the well. There's water. The lady's there. Hey, give me a drink. He knew where he was going with that. What can you ask somebody when you know that you're going with the gospel conversation? I mean, just link it up. Yes, sir.
I think a lot of times people are actually handing you stuff, and it doesn't have to be an object, right?
Yeah.
So they're saying, I am so stressed over this. What do you hear when you hear that, right? Yeah. Or it's been so busy, or I've been anxious. But they're throwing you easy softballs.
They're drowning, and they're asking for a lifeline.
Right. And
yeah.
What do you do? You get nervous, and
yeah.
You're like, oh, God. Why do I deserve to be? All that Satan.
This is what we do.
Right?
Well, I'm stressed too.
Yeah, right. And then you feel like you've supported them somehow, right?
Yeah.
You've done nothing.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. That's excellent. You know, if we take the strategy of how we can get into gospel conversations, and we take the opportunities that people throw us,
yeah. And
just try to be there for them. I mean, there's all this opportunity that's there to connect the gospel with it.
Yeah. Even if they don't throw something directly at you, you should be able to respond to that, you know, easily with your heart. But when you consider the way the world is today, all of us, there's not one of us here who doesn't have a gripe about something out there that's going
yeah.
on.
Yeah.
And that's easy to connect with that person on that level.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, you both share the gripe or the concern. But now you have a different direction you want to take it.
Yeah.
And that, I found that to be very useful. Basically, I don't care whether it's high gas prices, whether it's political issues.
Yeah.
You don't have to get buried in the politics. You can move it from there very easily onto the answer to all of what's this. Like, why are you doing so nasty today? How was it that when you were young, you brought up all kinds of stuff?
Yeah, yeah. It's just... Honestly, if we're sensitive, like we talked about, there's so much connection opportunity in regular conversation to bring up our
needs. People need the first thing, before you give the gospel, like the Roman road. The one problem I have with the Roman road is it doesn't delve deeply enough into where you're currently at. You need to know your wretchedness first before the Roman road makes any sense to you. And so how do you do that? Without going out, like you say, telling someone, hey, you're going to hell.
Yeah.
You know, you don't do that, but you share the common ground that, yeah, we're all in trouble here.
Yeah. And that's where we can, you know, the best comedians that connect with people do something called self-deprecation.
Yeah.
Because it takes the weight off of everybody else, and yet it gives the reality of the situation they're all in. And a lot of times in sharing the gospel, you can do the same thing. I know I was a filthy, rotten, dirty sinner, and still with you if it wasn't for God saving us.
there's your testimony.
So then, you're basically saying you are too, without saying, by the way, you're rewriting some you're kind of generalizing it into, I'm right here with you, I've experienced the grace of God in my life. So, I mean, this should be a natural thing for us. That's what I'm trying to impart to you today, is the naturalness of these conversations. They're not as far out there as you think they are. They're not so unattainable that you can't get into them. They really flow from normal life, from a heart that's ready, from a spirit that's sensitive, from the opportunities that don't even throw you. It's just all around us all the time. We're just negligent many times of really connecting all the pieces together in our mind and our heart concern. So.
One thing I can add to that, it's like, the other thing is you don't look for that obvious issue that, you know, the open doors. I try to, no matter what's happening that day, I'm going to have an encounter with somebody, whether it's picking out shrubs at a nursery, whether it's dealing with a guy who's cutting branches off my tree that I don't want to cut off. I always try to pray about it and say, Lord, there's a potential witness there. Don't let me have an attitude going into this where I know it can be confrontative to destroy a potential witness. When you pray like that, it's amazing how things can turn around in that situation. But had you not made that prayer, you would have let your own self dictate what you were going to do and not do. And generally, it's in the flesh.
Yeah.
If you're willing to say, Lord, even if it doesn't turn out the way I want, let me preserve the witness.
You see, Tom, that's the very important point of the partnership we have with God. We're not doing this alone. So we talked about last week, we're cultivating that there's a partnership. Some walk that large, some not so. God gives the increase. We are laborers together with God. And so praying to him and asking him, hey, generate this. He wants to do that.
And sometimes he lets you only go so far.
Yes.
And
yes.
You walk away, but
that's according to his will.
Exactly.
His time. Yeah, absolutely. Great thoughts.
This is helping me. I'm ready to go out. Go tell some people about Jesus. But that gospel segue, I think, is just so key that we have an understanding that all of life will in some shape or form relate to gospel truth. And so we should be building those bridges, preparing those segues to transition conversation from that point as the Spirit leads. And I want to emphasize as the Spirit leads. Don't force the Spirit. I mean, how do you understand Paul wanted to go deeper in Asia and the Spirit pulled out of the deal? Wasn't that God didn't want people, and it was just timing, and there's the Holy Spirit, and there's God at work. Don't push God out of the window, because I got a great plan for a segue. Man, I was working on this all night. This is going to be great. If it doesn't have the power of the Spirit, then it won't be great. So you really want to have it straight. But also don't use the Spirit as an excuse. I just didn't feel the Spirit was an excuse. He said, what must I do to be saved? The Spirit might not be working with you, but he was working with him. Come along with that, you know? I mean, we don't want to use that as an excuse, but we also want to have the power of the Spirit when we're connecting truth with people.
When you said Paul going into Asia, I just had an idea pop in my head. I wonder if the source of that was fear, that he didn't want to go back to his people and confront the Jews with what he knew to be true. Mm. I mean, imagine how difficult that was for him.
Yeah. Well, so and it was when he did, too.
And go back and face my own people.
Yeah. Maybe I'll even get further away from where the Jews are trying to stop me down and mess me up. Yeah. And how many of you are glad God knows all those situations in our life? He knows our weakness. He knows our struggles. He knows what we need, when we need it. We need to listen to him implicitly. He'll put us right where we're going to be the most effective. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, gospel segue. The other thing that we see in our passage is a gospel satisfaction. I think this is something that we have to be prepared to communicate to people. I kind of alluded to it in my conversation already. We put ourselves in a position of needing salvation. We'll talk about that in a minute. And that has satisfied. Because Jesus says that about the water that he's offering the woman at the well. He says, "When you drink, so you're going to drink of this water." And what a great application of the world. You're going to drink of this water. You're going to have this fun. You're going to experience these pleasures. You're going to do this. But he that drinketh of this water will thirst again. It's not satisfying, right? But if you drink of the water I will give you, you'll never thirst again. You'll be completely satisfied and made whole. So I think you have to, at some point, be able to express the holistic nature of the gospel in that it completes us. It covers every base. It is completely and fully satisfying because there's nothing that even the sin-broken, sin-cursed, sin-filled world can destroy in our life now that we're saved. I mean, the worst thing that can happen to us is we can die, and then where are we? We're in heaven with God. So we're satisfied one way or the other. Paul was satisfied in the prison. I'm not saying everything's going to be hunky-dory and a bed of roses, but I think some of the most satisfying parts of my life when I've been in the deepest struggle. Because I've known that I have nothing I can do, and I have to lean completely on Christ. And there's some deep satisfaction in knowing that I'm not the one in control, and He's the one that's in control. So, you know, that's satisfying. And so, are you living a satisfying life? You know, Christians are constantly coveting, constantly needing this, constantly running after this, constantly unsatisfied with anything in life, and we're showing that in ways. I think we're setting up a poor case for the gospel in our life. I'm not saying we have to walk around like monks, you know, invisible, like the Pharisees, you know, controlling their faces because they're fasting. But I think that there is a general sense that people will have of us if we are satisfied in Christ. You know, our conversation shows we're satisfied in Christ. If we're not constantly talking about, man, I just wish I'd get that raise so I can finally get this thing and go on this vacation and experience this thing and do this thing and have this thing and be, if that's all our conversation is full of, I don't know that represents a fully satisfied point of view. You know, if our coworkers are coming to us and saying, man, I'm just really stressed or worried, and we're like, well, I'm worried. You know, move over, let me drown with you. It doesn't really show that we have a whole lot of satisfaction in our life, but we're kind of in the same spot everybody else is in. I'm not saying we need to put that on. If we're not satisfied, you need to get satisfied in Christ. I don't think you're going to be a good witness if you're not satisfied. You haven't seen the overwhelming eternal flow of His fountain and spring in your life. I don't think you're really in a place where you can share your faith very effectively. So there has to be a point of satisfaction you arrive at personally. And the point of satisfaction, you can communicate with others yourself. Okay.
Whoops, sorry. So gospel satisfaction. Next, we have gospel and sin. Gospel and sin. So Jesus confronts the sin of the woman. You are a sinner.
You adulterous. She knew where she was at. Do you see how he used practical words even though he was saying you're a sinner? You don't have to go up to people and like fillet or fish them and be like, you know, you are the stinking rotten this deep. I mean, ultimately we all are. But you can use self-deprecation. I mean, you're saying self-deprecation would never work for Jesus because he wasn't a sinner. Got it?
And he didn't take a holier than thou.
But he didn't take a holier. He could have.
He was perfect.
He could have. But he simply addressed the sin. You know, a lot of times if you'll simply address sin, just address sin, the Holy Spirit will already work in our heart to identify them as a sinner. That's where the Holy Spirit's at. You can't be the Holy Spirit. You're not Jesus. You can't be like, yeah, you have five husbands. Yeah, go try that with your friends. start making up things that you think they've done and see how well that goes. No, he's God. He knew the issue. He's dealing with the heart. So it's a unique situation. He's the presenter of the gospel, and he's dealing with the heart at the same time as the Holy Spirit is. We're not the Holy Spirit. All we can do is present what sin is. The Holy Spirit will do the work in their heart to say, I am a sinner. And we can use, I like the way of the master approach. I don't know if you've seen it. I may have seen it on Ron Comfort. Is that his name?
Ray Comfort,
yeah. He uses the law to kind of bring people to a place where they know that they're a sinner. You know, hey, are you a sinner? Well, I'm not a sinner. Well, have you ever done this? And it goes to the Ten Commandments. And by the time you're
free, the living waters.
Maybe. I can't remember. Anyway, I've seen a couple of his presentations. I really liked it. Because he just used the Ten Commandments. And he's like, this shows that we're all sinners, right?
Yeah.
Or
Australia. Yeah. He has a program, Way of the Master.
Way of the Master. That's what I've seen. Yeah. You might look it up.
We had it here. It's probably been 15 years ago.
Okay.
We had an actual class on Way of the Master.
Okay.
And it was pretty... spreading the gospel.
I like how he uses the word of God to bring conviction. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's what should happen with the word of God. You know, when you're confronted with the reality of I've transgressed the law of God, I'm a sinner, I need salvation, that's kind of what he brings conviction. But I was just going to say, you won't seem to be saved if sin isn't addressed. Mm-hmm. You know, in the conversation, you have to bring up sin, you know. And if you use it as a personal means to say we're all sinners, or if you just take the Bible and reveal what sin is, however you do it, pray, trust the Holy Spirit. He'll convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. We'll talk about that in our message this morning a little bit in the main church. But that's a connected point here for sin in the gospel. That has to take place.
And then, just so we can move on and do our conversation more and have time for that, the gospel and salvation. So sin sets up the whole point for salvation.
People, you know, this is how we cheapen the presentation of the gospel. Salvation isn't, well, listen, this is what we do. Salvation isn't saving somebody from sin. It's just giving you a better life. You're not really that bad. Just add Jesus to what you are. Okay? So you're not really that bad. Just pray this prayer. And then you have Jesus along for the ride, and you'll be so much better. But you have to completely repent of your sin. You have to understand that sin has a consequence. And it's death, physically, and eternal separation from God spiritually in a place called hell that will be cast into the lake of fire that will burn for all eternity in torment. That's the reality. I mean, there's no way around that. So, you know, people will be truly saved if they don't truly understand what sin is.
That's a perfect segue into, in the back of the mind of the people who will hear that. You know, they get into the legalism, you know, you're either coming from a legalistic standpoint or you're coming from another standpoint. And that's where the conversation on, I don't mean legalism, I mean we're not going to all of a sudden stop and be pure, but there's forgiveness.
Yes.
So there's no segue.
Yes. We can't do it on our own. We can't live up the law. It's impossible to do that. So here's how we're saved. Jesus did it for us and closes up with his righteousness and then helps us live from the inside out the way that he wants us to live.
And
yeah.
When you do sin, it's by sin you will.
Yeah.
There's forgiveness for washing of the feet.
Yeah. Yeah. Now in this, and I want to get into our next conversation because we've got very little time, you'll find that Jesus has a discussion with the woman about religion. Well, you worship in the temple. We worship in the mountain. Where should you worship? And Jesus says, there's going to come a time where it doesn't matter where you worship. It's who you worship. Mm-hmm. Salvation, we know. And it's a person. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay?
Did Jesus prophesy that? Did Jesus prophesy?
Yes. He totally prophesied. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And that prophecy becomes our reality of the gospel. And sharing the gospel. So, let's have that conversation. We talked about all these things, how we set up the conversation, elements of the conversation. Now, talk with me about instances and occurrences, and I'll close with talking about how you overcome the religious aspect of it. When people start to want to convince, so you're getting into the conversation, so that you get to the gospel, you're like, well, how can we believe that Jesus? What's the right? There's thousands of different religions out there. How do I know to pick this one, this one, or this one? I'll get into how you address that in a moment. But what are some of these areas that we talked about that you'd like to discuss or have a question answered about? Maybe we've already covered some of it as we walk through it, but is there a point here that's difficult in your arena, or, yeah?
Just in general, the pressure, it's hard sometimes to get people to understand what sin is and why it's a problem.
Yes.
Because, well, Jesus loved everybody. If I knew that one more time, I would throw up.
Yes.
Yes, he did, but he saved them from the sin that he saved them and leave them in the sin. So sometimes it's hard to get people, well, why is that a sin? It's, you know, I'm not hurting anybody or, you know, whatever it is. But because God says it is. But sometimes, but God said isn't quite enough and they don't care about what God said. You know what I mean? So how do you kind of sometimes jump over that gap of it's important that God said it?
Yes. Well, that's where the Holy Spirit really comes in and has to convict them of where they're at in their relationship with God. See, ultimately, the ultimate sin, and the sin that can't be forgiven, is the rejection of God. And so, what you're doing in the gospel conversation, you're trying to bring them into relationship with God. And so, I would ask them, well, if you, your dad, when you were growing up, had certain things that he wanted you to do, maybe you didn't understand it, maybe you thought you weren't creating anymore, maybe you thought you could run along with that shut down. But your dad thought you're not good right now, you're just bad about it. It's a good way to do it. If you just continue to do that because you thought in your own mind was right, would you be able to have a relationship with your dad? So if you don't care what God thinks or what he's created or how he's orchestrated our life, then what you're saying is you don't want to have a relationship with God. So now the bigger deal is I don't believe there's a God. Which then you can move the conversation to what you created out of that. So there's different places that you can go, but that issue of them not agreeing with certain things in sin or that they're that sinful or whatever, and saying, well, then you don't want a relationship with God because God must say it's in us because it goes in concert with his creation. He wants us, he has called us to live in certain ways because he set up for our benefit so we can have blessing. When we go against that, we don't have his blessing. Do you want to have a relationship with God? Do you care about that? You can relate to that with your conflict. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Yeah. So I think that brings out that relationship. Yes.
Sometimes I think that's the fear that we that causes this to not engage. Because
yes.
Especially the specific person, I know they're gonna make this argument, right?
Yes.
But I think the point is brilliant about the Holy Spirit's gonna do what the Holy Spirit
yes.
can do. So
yes.
That doesn't absolve you from the responsibility to approach and
yeah.
speak truth.
Yeah.
And when the Spirit calls them, the Spirit will take the action. You're
that's
not
right.
going to. So you don't even have to rely on yourself
you
to win the argument or win the day.
You
tell the truth. The way God has shown you
yes.
how it's affected your life and let you deal with it. It's the
yes.
plant, water, harvest, right?
Yes.
It's the same deal. And we forget that because we take it so personally
yes.
that we feel the need to engage and prevail.
Yes.
We're not
yeah.
responsible to prevail. Either.
But I do think that there is an aspect where we can reason the gospel.
Oh, absolutely.
And we're going to see that in our passage this morning in Acts where Paul's going to reason with Felix is the reason that Drusilla and his wife concerning this of the gospel. And they're exactly 100% like, never feel like you can't understand the truth and love it. Like, if they don't agree with the truth, like, well, I don't agree that everything the guy says he said, well, he said it is, and it is. It's God.
Sometimes if you get to a point where you have to let the Spirit open that door for you, but you can even question someone's motivation behind you, so like to say, I didn't murder anybody or whatever. Right, scripture.
Yeah.
God says murder is even in the heart of the right
yes.
someone. And then, you know, then that'll take you down a whole other path
yeah.
of the corruption of man.
Yes.
Okay. And, you know, who knows where that's going to go.
Yeah.
You have to kind of wait for how they take them to go down that path.
That was a great question. And I think that it will take time and consider it, you can reason out why this is a problem. And I think drawing a relationship is the best way to do that. So we all have parents, and we know that they told us not to do certain things. Well, why can't I? They loved us. We didn't see the whole picture at the time, but they had a design to train for us. So God has a design to train and says, this is sin. They want to participate. Do you want a relationship with God? Well, you can't have the sin because it breaks down everything. Breaks down a relationship with your parents, breaks down your relationship with your family. I think
as human beings, we try to trivialize sin. That it's not such a big deal.
Yes.
And
everybody does it.
And there's people within, I would say, the liberal church, the left-leaning church, they go to great lengths to trivialize the nature of sin. But the reality is that it cost God his son
yes.
to atone for it.
Yep.
So it's not trivial.
Right.
And someone had mentioned, and I thought about this pretty deeply, we don't start by telling somebody, well, if you don't believe in Jesus, you're going to hell. Because you have not addressed the root of the problem in that most people believe that they're a good person.
Mm-hmm.
They actually believe that. And Jesus said to the young man, the rich young ruler, that none of you are good.
Mm-hmm. There's none good but God.
There's none good but God.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to kind of walk them through the reason. Like, you have to get them to recognize their sin, that they're not as good as they think they are. And the only reason they think they're good is because they compare themselves to other people.
That's where it falls short of the glory of God comes
yeah.
in.
Yeah.
Any other points of complication that we've discussed in our trying to communicate with people about?
What are you saying about the guys from YouTube, street preaching, and the five grades? I think
yeah.
there's a place for that. It's, sometimes it seems like it's for clicks.
Yeah.
It's kind of antagonistic.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I have a hard time saying that I know what the Holy Spirit's doing in somebody's life.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit's never prompted me to do that.
Yeah.
I've never been out with a picket sign. I've never been out yelling, you know, at people who were.
Somebody says you're a sinner.
I don't know that I have that. I'm a prophet, and then call down fire and burn somebody. I think all that's in scripture.
Yeah.
And as I go a chance to talk with people about it, I'm able to do that.
Yeah.
I think the Bible tells us to be, we're going to see it from one of the pastors we read this morning, wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And I think us going to try to pick a fight on somebody's turf that we know we're just getting an altercation and clicks and all those kinds of things, I think it, I know it would compromise my motives. I don't want to be in a position of compromise. I battle my flesh and I believe that. And if I feel like, wow, this is going to get seen, and you know, I'm confronting, I felt that way as a pastor before. I've been tempted to do certain things or do certain things because I know maybe there's an expectation that I would deal with this at this time,
yeah,
in this way. You know, I find it comes organic that I'm preaching, when I'm going verse by verse. One of the reasons why I go verse by verse, chapter to chapter, book to book, is because the Holy Spirit's dictating when certain things come up and how they come up, and it's not prompted out of a motivation that's not true to God. Because I'm a human being, I struggle with all those things. And I don't know how somebody can put themselves in a position to be questioned and confident in the right way.
That's what
that turned into.
I have mixed feelings about it.
I mean, I'm not condemning you. I don't know what God's doing in their heart and mind. I can't be the judge of God on that.
Yeah.
It's just not my personal leaning towards ministry. I have no problem that sin and that needs to be confronted and needs to be dealt with. And I'm sure there's people there that aren't getting into the flesh and doing those types of things. But I certainly think there are people that are doing it, for sure. So, yeah.
I'm
here
to
see
that my life is Catholic and Buddhist. And how to deal with it.
Yes. So let me get into that because we're running short on time. And I think that is one of the biggest distractions and difficulties in getting the gospel is you're getting it to him. You're talking about Jesus. Well, how do you know that's right and not all that?
Because there'll be another religion.
Like, these people are good and they're living good things, some similar things that you're living, and maybe there's just this God and we're all trying to find him in our own way. What's the biggest, you know, difference in all of this? Like, how do you know what yours is right? Why are you telling me what I'm doing is wrong? It's leading to good things in my life. And then we're like, you know. But this is the thing, and this will help you to visualize and understand how you're presenting the gospel. There are only two belief systems in the whole world. Only two. And for all the gazillion faiths, religions, whatever that are out there, there's only two belief systems. And you fall into one or the other. And it's works or grace. It doesn't matter what you name it, whether you name it Catholicism or Mormonism or Hinduism or Buddhism or whatever. There's works and there's grace. So either you're in the camp where you're doing something to be saved, or you're in the belief that you can't do anything in your own power to be saved, and you need to be saved by the truth of God. Everything falls into this category.
There's a point there that everyone recognizes that they need to be justified before God.
Yes.
And how do we do that?
Yes. And here's all the gazillion things that here's the one. That's, and Jesus made that argument. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He said, I am the one who's done the work. And so then that's, it's always the perfect thing. I love it when people ask me that. I love it when they say, well, because they think they got me. They think they played the trump card, and they're like, yeah, because they've done a billion times to other people, and they're like, this is how I get out of this conversation. And then I'm able to just talk to them and say, no, listen, you don't need to do this. And that usually blows their mind when I tell them that. They're like, oh, this, and I'm like,
yeah,
you can't use this in the whole world.
Different things.
Yeah.
You break it down,
yeah, it's all either works or it's grace. Either you're saved by what you do, or you have a partnership in what you do, or you have to, you know, put yourself... You got to achieve nirvana, you got to achieve reincarnation, you got to achieve enlightenment, if you want to go Eastern religion, if you want to go, you know, Catholicism, that's works-based concerning all the different things you have to do, be part of the church, be baptized in the church, go through the sacraments, go through, you know, whatever. Whatever it is, it all fits into works over here. Every other thing but Jesus. Jesus is the only thing that's grace, that he's done all the work, and all we do is believe on what he's done, and trust in his word, his salvation. I don't need to go into the gospel, and then it means even more to them. Because they're like, it is where I'm at. I am self-justifying, and I am doing all the work, and I am part of this religion, and I am seeking nirvana, and I am trying to achieve enlightenment by sitting naked on the red rocks and sit down there. And it's all this work. That really happens, by the way. I look at it. I didn't go watch. I just knew that happened. But it's either work. No, they're all natural. But it's works or it's grace. It's works or it's grace. It's works or it's grace. That's what it all comes back to. So when we're talking with people and they try to confuse us with all these religions and this, this is older than this, and these ancient documents, and this, do you think we can achieve more in some way? Yeah, that's why God does this.
You also have the resurrection. None of them claim this.
Yeah, yeah, the resurrection.
We could be part of the gospel.
That's the work that he did, right? The sacrifice of the resurrection. We can really talk about that and why that is so significant and why that is apart from anything else. Because you're still trying to raise yourself from the dead over here. You can never do it if he did it for us.
Mm-hmm. Jesus was raised from the dead. It validates everything you said.
Yeah.
And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father.
So yeah.
And if someone claims, I don't believe that, you just simply say, research it for yourself. There are others with better brains than you or I about it that you can believe.
Yeah. Hopefully, you picked up on a couple things that were either helpful or encouraging or gave you a little bit more understanding of the dynamic of sharing your faith. We probably need to make this class maybe 1 week longer where we can have some time to go through gospel presentations and stuff too. I learned a lesson on this. We'll try to make it longer next time. But all of what we've discussed has been recorded, and you can access it through the QR codes. So you can go back and kind of listen to areas that you were maybe being helped by and encouraged by and resourced by. But thank you for being a part of the class. I really think... Yeah. What's that?
So the last couple points that we could get to, maybe on the QR code.
So, what didn't I cover?